This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday, February 10th edition of Invest Talk. So what do you need to know to make more informed decisions about your money? Actually, the best answer to that question is, I don't know. You don't know what you don't know. See, people, including myself, you don't know even the right answers, the questions to ask to understand what you're supposed to know. That's what that means, you don't know what you don't know. We're really all ignorant to some degree. Okay, and it's a question of trying to overcome that ignorance. And everybody's ignorant in something, okay? And even the experts are ignorant to some degree in their field. So this is what the show is about, trying to help us all become less ignorant, learn. It's Invest Talk. There's 1 hour forum, a back and forth conversation with your calls, driving much of the discussion in an effort to get us all smarter. Including myself, because I get information. You know, when you ask me a question and I have to find the information, it makes me smarter. Another piece of our information effort is, of course, our Saturday morning wealth conference, the most recent one we just had this past weekend in San Jose. And I wanted to thank everybody for attending. We had a really good crowd. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I hope they did too. I hope they got something out of it. It's a 3-hour session about oil and other commodities, and we had a really good. I don't know. I think it was very informative for everybody. And then we had a good Q&A at the end where people asked about various stocks, and we'd look them up on our information and look at a chart. And after the whole 3 hours, we wanted to show you how to look at it, where the danger is, even if oil starts to recover, or if oil falls, where are the weak parts of the oil industry? Where are they? What are the stronger parts? What should you be invested in? So that was kind of fun. Kind of enjoy it. Today we have lots to pack into this hour. As always, your calls come first. You can get through to us right now at 888-99-CHART. Let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, guys. I'm a caller from Baltimore, Maryland. Heard Steve on Friday say that ETFs and mutual funds were pretty comparable in terms of risk, that they both reflected the underlying net asset value of the stocks that they held. I wanted to question that. Isn't it the case that while mutual funds sell at their net asset value at the end of the day, ETFs can actually sell at a premium or a discount to that net asset value during the day, so that in a rising market, the price of an ETF might actually be above the net asset value, in a falling market, ETFs might be selling at below their net asset value, which would suggest to me that they are somewhat riskier than mutual funds. If I'm mistaken, please correct me. Would be interested to hear your comments. Thanks.
Well, I'm not sure, but if there is, you're talking about a tug of war between supply and demand of an ETF, but only in a closed-in fund, would that be true, a premium and a discount to the net asset value? When they're open-ended, they track the index completely. But if you're talking about a penny or two where there's kind of a little difference because of the speed of trading and the supply and demand issues, I'm not sure. Maybe there could be a penny or two, but it would be corrected very quickly because they're almost all ETFs are open-ended, meaning that if more and more people want to buy and there's a demand, they just issue more and more shares to maintain that net asset value of the underlying index. I hope that's not too confusing. If there's a finite number of shares in the ETF or ETN, and then obviously supply and demand could really, there could be a premium or a discount to whatever the value is, the net asset value. So I don't think so. I think that there is no an open-ended fund. They trade just like a mutual fund at the net asset value of the underlying index. Now, I can't say that is true for everything, and I can't be absolutely certain, but I'm pretty positive. Okay. Anybody has a better explanation? You give me a call. Let's hear it. Also, this hour, by the way, we're going to talk about user-friendly investing applications, apps. Okay, that's going to be one of our talking points today. Okay, there's a number of them out there, and it's an article that you can we're going to refer to, the 10 best apps for timid first-time investors. And I've seen many of the apps, and some of them are very good. Okay, so we'll talk about the apps. I'm a little worried because some of them are very easy to use. And done, you know, if you maintain your investments in an index, I don't have a problem with that. But as soon as you start getting away from that, I have an issue. So that's going to be one of our talking points. Also going to talk about the job openings report. It hit the highest level since 2001. Job openings report. A little bit different than the jobs report. But I have some interesting stats. There's an article by El Iran, Mohammed El Iran. He was the co-CEO of PIMCO for quite some time. He quit a couple years ago, and he wrote an article about: is this an accidental currency war? Is that breaking out right now? And he's got some interesting comparisons and things that might be of interest. Oil may drop by more than $30 a barrel, according to Citigroup. The experts at Citigroup saying oil could drop there. Now, it's funny because the article does, their statements state that no one really knows. But they tell you where they think it's going or why. So we'll go over that as well. I thought that was kind of funny where they say, big headline, well, we think it's, you know, this is where the price should be. We think it could fall into $30. But no one really knows. Well, then why are you taking a guess at it if no one really knows? I thought it was funny. Anyways, those are going to be our talking points today. Right now, let's take a quick look at the market. The Dow is up 140, the S&P up 62, and the NASDAQ up 22. The S&P, the S&P and NASDAQ were up much stronger on a percentage basis than the Dow. But, you know, they've erased most of the fall from the beginning of the year. Okay, but they're not back up to their highs in late December, very late December. They still got a little ways to go. But they made most of that all back up. If you look at a chart, we're in a very, very strict kind of trading range in the indexes. And we're right near the top of that range again. I mean, only a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago, we were at the bottom of that range. Now we're back up the top, and it's been like that. So now let's see what it does. I saw after hours tonight that Germany said, no way to Greece. We're not doing any of that. You're not? No. And so today's market, it seemed like that there was some possibility that Greece and the EU were going to come to an agreement of some kind, short-term extension of their debt and everything. Germany said, no, after hours tonight. So we'll see what it does to the market on the opening tomorrow. Be sure to sign up to become an InvestTalk Insider, if you would. It's free. You'll get instant access to a whole list of chart lessons and showing many of the classic patterns of charts and try to help teach you how to recognize them. It's always free. And you sign up, you just go to investtalk.com. There's nothing to fill out or give a bunch of information. No, the only thing we need is your email because we're going to send you stuff like the chart lessons. 888-99-CHARTS, how to reach us right now now with your money topic on whatever it is. Here in InvestTalk, we want to discuss what you're interested in, not what I want to talk about, but what do you want to talk about? So we want to hear your questions. Immediately on the Bay Area is next, then you. 888-99-CHART, let's talk to Emilio in the Bay Area. How you doing, Emilio? Emilio, are you there? Yellow. Did we lose Emilio? Maybe we lost him. Emilio? Well, he's got an open line, but he's not answering me. He had a question about SU, Suncor Energy. I don't know what the question was, but Suncor Energy is a large oil company, Canadian company engaged in oil and gas exploration, refinery, marketing of oil sands and natural gas in Canada. It was the oil sands in Canada is one of the things we talked about. We talked about the various areas in the world in that conference and the cost to get oil out of the ground. And oil sands cost to get oil out of the sand is extremely high, with a really high initial cost. Emilio there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Emilio. You wanted to talk about Suncor Energy?
Yeah, Sunoco, I believe it. That's you. How are you, Steve? And a great segue. Speaking of oil, and I'm quite fond of you saying the analysts are wrong, and I think they're wrong, and I was thinking about buying.
Okay. Yeah, the analysts all hate oil or don't like oil or, you know, I just don't listen to them. So, they're wrong too often for me to really pay a lot of attention to. I like to do my own work, and I can be wrong all by myself. I don't need their help.
Exactly.
Okay, so Suncor Energy is a oil and gas exploration, refining, and marketing of oil sands and natural gas in Canada. And then over the weekend at the conference, we talked about oil sands, and there's a really huge upfront cost, and that's why their cost is a lot to get the oil. But after they did that upfront cost, because they got to start, put a lot of infrastructure in place, the cost to actually extract that oil is not nearly as much as most people think. So once they start and get the operation running, which a lot of them are already there, their cash flow is going to keep. You don't have to worry about them too much, because oil, they're not going to stop or slow down. They might not make a lot of money, but I don't worry about them too much as far as going out of business. And you won't have to worry about Suncor Energy. They're way too big. I think it's a really good, solid company. I think they found a bottom right around $27, $28, and it's at $31.53. It looks pretty strong. It may retest the $26.50, the $28. It may retest it, but I think that's a buy point. As long as it stays above it, I like it.
All right. Okay. I'd rather listen to you than the experts.
Thanks, Emilio. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Good week to all of you. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Strong earnings. You're going to make $3.14 this year. That's about the same as it made last year. The next year, you're going to pay a little more. They did reduce their capital expenditure by $1 billion down to $6 to $7 billion. So they are taking steps to cut some costs, but it's a good solid. I mean, you can't ask for it. It pays a 3% dividend, and they're going to make $3, and it's a $30 stock, so they can easily sustain that dividend, easily. So I kind of like it. That's SU, everybody, SU. What are we going to talk about? How about those apps? There's some apps, 10 apps that helps the beginner investor. We're going to talk about those. I think those would be really interesting. I also want to talk about the jobs opening report that's going to come out, that's come out, and some statistics I'm going to give you. You know, some of them good, some of them are bad. It kind of will give you some thinking as to why the economy is growing so well, but people don't feel that the economy is growing that well or feel that the economy is recovered. There's specific reasons, because in many ways it's not. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. We want to hear from you this hour, if we could. Your questions are important because they drive the show. Beginner experience questions are always welcome. Don't ever be embarrassed about a question. Of course, it's all got to be about financial stuff. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now.
When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve and the newly released Economic and Market Forecast for February. You can sign up right now, and it's all free on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, we're going to talk about 10 best apps for timid first-time investors, and I'm not going to go over all 10, okay? There's an article on our website. If you want to look at them, just go to the article, click on the today's talking point. You'll see it there. But one of the apps, one of the first ones, is called Acorn. One thing nice about the app, it's called Acorn, or Acorns with S, A-C-O-R-N-S, is that it's basically really for first-time investors, and it allows you to buy very small pieces, very small amounts of funds, mutual funds, okay? And that's the best thing about it. The worst thing about it is this is like a registered investment advisor. They get a small piece of everything you invest. The people who produce the app, they get a piece every month. It's small, it's tiny. But if you don't keep putting money in it, that fee can eat up you. And if the market goes down, that fee, you know, in a really small account can really hold you back. So you gotta, it would be better if you put more money in it and it grew it fast and kept putting a lot of money in it, because it would keep the cost down. Tiny little bits of money. And that is one of the biggest problems in our industry. It's hard to help the small guy. It's hard. Because, you know, what you're talking to people like myself who have to run a company, and they have overhead, and, you know, the smaller the accounts, you know, it's more work for not a very much money, so we're taking a bigger chunk of your assets, and that's not good for you. Yet you need the help. It's kind of tough. It's really a tough situation. But they have other apps in there. Yahoo Finance has a very good app. TD Ameritrade has one. Fidelity Investment has one. There's one at CNBC. That's okay. There's an app even called Bazinga. Offers investors instant access to auto-updating stock quotes from mobile devices and stuff. There's some really neat apps out there. And it depends on you and what you need. But be very careful. Always check what the costs are. And make sure you do the math on those costs. If it sounds small, but over time it may not be, you know, depending on what's going on. And that's our talking point for today. Boy, we get calls from all over the world, right? From listeners with all levels of experience, 888-99-CHART. You can reach me anytime you want, and we'll get the answer to you on the next program.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, podcast listener. What do you guys think of Terex Corporation, a construction equipment company? The sticker symbol is T as a Tom, E as an Echo, X as a Xerox. I've been watching this for the last 6 months, and it has fallen down, but do you think it has fallen down enough to stick your toe in the water, or shall I still be more patient? Thank you. Bye.
So just remember, whenever you're watching a stock and you're waiting for a pullback and you think it's gone down enough and then you want to jump in, I'm okay with that, but you always want to wait to make sure as much as you can that it has started to recover. Not that it's still fallen. You don't want to pick up a fallen knife while it's still falling, but you're looking for a bounce, and you're looking for to see if that bounce is sustainable. And they do a lot of bounces on the way down. So you want to have some kind of method to say, okay, that looks like it's done, and it's now come recovering. And I'll say this. I can't say that for Terex, T-E-X. It looks like they might want to try to bounce. The last month or so, it's coming off its lows. But it's right there. I want to see it break the trend up. And it's a downward trend that's really close to the trend line coming up. I would wait till it breaks above that trend line before I make my first purchase. Let's talk about Terex Corporation, TEX. Manufactures capital equipment for construction, infrastructure, mining, shipping, and transportation. And it's fallen from low 40s to, we got down to about, $22 a share. Now it's almost $24.99. So it's coming off its low. So it's fallen pretty good. It's going to make $2.30 this year. That's up 3% from last year. And next year it's going to make $2.61. So it looks pretty solid. It's a $2.7 billion market cap. The P ratio is 11. And it's gone, the lowest it's ever gone in the last 5 years, 8. So it's getting close to the low range. But it's going to make $2.61 next year. 8 times 261 is 8, 16, that's $21. And it's at $24.85. So it's really close to its low range. So that tells me this might be a good spot to buy right in here. But I'd wait till it broke above about $25.75 to be my purchase. Or I would like to see like a double, triple bottom. Retest the bottom. And then it kind of and if you do that, you'll note that the trend line stretches out and it's easy to break on the way up. So be very careful at this point. We're almost there, but I still would like to see a little bit more strength before I jump in. That TEX, everybody. Good company. Good, solid company. I have no problem with that, with the numbers I see. Pretty decent numbers. Okay? Coming to next, in the next half hour, what if your boss offers a Roth 401k? Should you switch? Because they could do that now. Regular 401k and a Roth 401k, like an IRA. Regular Roth. That's coming up next. Should you switch? Should you do your Roth 401k rather than a regular 401k? I have my opinions on that. Do you have a question about 401ks? 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now on Investor.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com. InvestTalk continues now with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Have you tried our free risk analysis tool that gives you a risk tolerance number that you can match up with your portfolio? It's in the blue box on the homepage right there on investtalk.com. Once again, here's Steve.
888-99-CHART. That's our number. Love to talk to you. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Good. You want to talk about Twitter?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out what your thoughts are on Twitter. I'm already in, but it was like a pop at, I think, from about 38 to about 47
yeah.
or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, because since I got in, like, maybe about 2 weeks ago, it's in my IRA.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking possibly taking the profits and letting it fill.
Well, when you bought it, did you buy it for a trade, or were you more interested in long term? Or see, a lot of things, Art, is, you know, when you buy something, you have a mind. Well, why do I buy it? You should say, well, if this is just a stock, this is not a core holding. This is something I'm just trying because it looks like it's finding support and it probably will pop, and then I'm going to get out. And if that's the case, I would take my profits because you know. Think if you annualize the profit you've got in the last 2 weeks, that's 1,000% profit, right? If you annualize it for the whole year. So it's really a lot of profit in a short period of time. But if you think Twitter is a really good long-term hold and it's kind of a thing that you want to hold on to for years, then you just ignore this pop. You know, you say,
I'm not sure if I wanted to get in that long.
Okay.
Pretty much wanted to get in for
for
the next couple of quarters.
Okay, well then, this would be an excellent time to sell it because you just realized about a 20% profit, right?
Right.
In about a week.
Yeah, because I was actually gonna sell that one and get it into something else that's near the bottom.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
something like you talked about earlier, like Suncor.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, see, this is the issue. It could still keep going up, Art. You know, no one knows in the short term. It's earnings were very good, right? That's one of the reasons why
right.
it's popped. Sales are good,
yep.
earnings are good, and that's why it popped. Now it's got to keep that up because it's expensive stock. It's got to keep it up. And if there's any disappointment, it'll fall again pretty hard. So, but
right.
but the most recent high is 55. It's at 47. So could it go up there? Oh, yeah, it could go up there. I mean, but also, you don't get 20% in a week very often. So
yeah.
my
yeah.
personal opinion is that if I bought it for a trade, I'd probably take the profit and run.
Oh, okay. All right, Keith.
Thanks
for the info.
Thanks. That's Twitter, everybody, TWTR. And you really need to kind of write down before you buy a stock why you bought the stock. What's your intentions with it? Is it something core or is it a trading? Is it a trade you're looking for? Is it a short-term outlook that you're concerned with, or is it a long-term? And I think I've talked about Twitter before. Twitter makes me a bit nervous because its business is not it makes its money by advertising when people tweet back and forth. But that's not its business advertising. That's why I like Google, because that is its business advertising. You know, for you to find things on the web as opposed to tweeting back and forth between people. Facebook is kind of similar. That doesn't mean they won't be successful. Doesn't mean they won't, you know, so far they've been pretty darn smart about how to monetize their product. So I'm not saying they're going to be unsuccessful. I'm just a bit skeptical about that. But I've been wrong before. And it doesn't mean I wouldn't own Twitter. I'm not saying that either. I just got to make sure I need to be more comfortable with the business model. 888-99-CHART, U.S. job chart, C-H-A-R-T. U.S. job openings hit highest level since 2001. That sounds like really good news. Job openings in the U.S. rose in December to the highest level since 2001, and that was about a little over 5 million. 5 million in the final month, it was up 3.7%. Not bad. Not bad at all. At the same time, the number of people hired climbed by 1.9% in December. A little over 5 million also, according to the report. The last time that many people found jobs was just a few months before the Great Recession, December 2007. So it's a big number, right? I mean, we're back to pre-recession levels. However, the pace of hiring for the year was only 12.5% increase. And the reason being is many firms across the country are complaining about a shortage of skilled labor. So even though there's a lot of job openings, they're being hard to fill. I thought that was interesting. They're saying there's not enough skilled labor in the areas that they were looking for. They mean the companies looking to hire people. So even though job openings have really done well, we're back to pre-recession, hiring is not necessarily. And layoffs, people fired, workers who quit, that rose to 4.89 million, the highest level since 2008. Now, the good part about that is people who quit are feeling comfortable about quitting because they think they can find another job. So that has been the quit rate. People who quit are confident that they'll get another job, but the quit rate, how many people are quitting, is 1.9%. And that was the same in November and December this most recent year. And the quit rate, the percentage of quitting at 1.9% is still well below the range of 2 to 2.5%. In a normal full-strength economy. So people are still kind of scared to quit. Okay, then on the good side, see, these are just interesting stats to give you more information. The number of unemployed job seekers per position fell. So it fell to the low of 1.7. Now 1.7 job seekers for every opening. That's pretty low. So that there's not that much competition as what they were for that job. And one final thing, one final bad thing, part-time workers who want full-time jobs is still very heavy. 6.8 million of them. 6.8 million. That is 52% higher than compared to the last month before the Great Recession. So we're 50% higher than before the recession. People who are part-time and want full-time but can't get it. That's kind of an important stat there. Okay, InvestTalk Personal, a day-to-day money decision that can have lasting impact on you. How about a quiz? Are contributions to your traditional 401k plan deducted from your salary before or after taxes? So the money you put in a 401k, that you deduct from your salary, is that before or after taxes? Okay. Before or after? Well, it's before. So therefore, they take the money out of your paycheck, then whatever's left is what's taxed. So you don't have to pay any income tax on the money you put in the 401k. I bet you most of you knew that. How about a Roth 401k? Just the opposite. That's taxed before they put it in. Do you know why? Then why would you do a Roth versus a regular 401k or a Roth versus a regular IRA? Do you know why? Because it is very important to know why you might want to do a Roth. Maybe we'll talk about that when we get back. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have questions about 401ks, Roth, regular IRAs, regular 401ks, 403bs, 457s, all those alphabet of numbers? Give me a call. 888-99-CHART or go to InvestTalk.com and click on Contact Steve or contact Justin if you want to send him an email.
As an InvestTalk insider, you will have access to investment resources that come straight from the desks of professional investors, like a dividend-focused ETF list, a short list of ETFs that hold a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks or other equities that pay steady dividends. Why not sign up for yourself? It's free right there on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve and Justin, thank you guys for this awesome show. Oh, listen, I'm a podcast. My question is, what do you think of USO, the oil ETF? Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for the kind words. I don't know if I describe it as awesome, but I do appreciate the sentiment. I do. USO, United States Oil Fund, exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the spot price of West Texas Intermediate Light Sweet Crude. So you want to... It tracks oil prices, the oil price out of West Texas, okay? So that's all you need to worry about. Is oil going to go up or is it going to go down? If it goes down, this falls, and it has, of course. It was near 40 back in June, fell to 16, and it's now at 1977, 16 and a half or so fell to. So it's now 1977 because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days it went from 16 to 1977. 8 days. That's how fast it bounced. Now, this could be a head fake. I wouldn't be surprised if you have a retest. I mean, it would be normal. No one knows. I don't know. But it would be normal. Everybody gets too excited about it. Everybody jumps in, drives this up for 8 days in a row. And now, what caused it to go up? Nothing, really. Nothing changed. Just that it was probably oversold. And it's probably going to stabilize, but I wouldn't be surprised if it falls, you know, to retest that low and then comes back up. But this is the area you're going to want to buy. I think oil is, as opposed to some of the experts, I don't think oil is going to go down as much as some Citigroup thinks. That's for sure, and that's going to be one I talk about. I don't think so. They have it maybe going down to $28 a barrel. I mean, that is an extreme. I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, it's possible. But I think we have to go into recession for it to happen. And I don't think we're on the cusp of recession. I think this year is going to have a better growth, GDP growth than last year. I do. I've written to my clients my annual letter that says that specifically. I think we're going to have better GDP growth this year than last year. Now, and I also think the stock market is going to be a lot more volatile this year than last year. Doesn't mean it'd be down, just more volatile. We've already seen it in the first month, and here middle of, not quite the middle of February, we've seen it. How many 100-point days in a Dow, up and down, have we seen? A lot more than normal. Well, at least normal in the last year or two. Kind of interesting, huh? What do you think? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Oil. Citigroup thinks it's going to possibly go lose another $30 a barrel down to the $20 range. I don't know if I buy that. A note Monday, analysts at Citigroup raised the possibility that West Texas Intermediate oil prices, which is this USO ETF we just talked about, may fall to as low as $20 range. Prices in the New York Mercantile Exchange already suffered a loss of 46% last year. So it dropped 46% last year. So it thinks it's going to drop another, what, 60%? I mean, it's possible, but probable? I don't know. The oil market should bottom between the end of this first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter, according to Citigroup. So that means, if you read in between the lines, then you're saying it's going to drop $20 a barrel by this quarter or middle of next quarter. For, you know, so we're talking what? April, May 1st, May 15th, somewhere near is the absolute out. Anybody who tries to make a call like that to me just doesn't, what the heck are you thinking? You can't predict that. You know, I you can guesstimate it, but man, you're putting yourself in a box there, because that's pretty hard to know in that short of a period of time. They also cut their forecast for next year to $46 a barrel. Next year meaning 2016, from $55 a barrel. I'm sorry, that was this year, $46 a barrel to the previous of $55. So they think it's going to go to $46. Remember, it's right, $50 a barrel right now. They think it's going to be $46 rest of the year, most of the year. Next year, 2015, they have it at $54 to $63. Now, I'll say this. I do also think oil is not going to, you know, recover like it, $80, $90, $100 a barrel the next couple of years. I don't see it. You know, Europe has to turn around. China has to turn around. Things have to happen. And I don't know if I see that. I think it's just going to be a struggle, worldwide struggle. Meanwhile, we're having a currency war. Do you know what a currency war is? And Mohammed Al-Harin calls it an accidental currency war breaking out, or a, you know, kind of stealth currency war. Well, it's not so stealthy, I think, but we're going to talk about next. I think that's, you know, a currency war. Why do you think oil has gone down so much? One of the reasons is the U.S. dollar has gone up so much. It's one of the main reasons. Not the only reason. There's supply and demand issues, but also the dollar has skyrocketed the same time as oil has collapsed since July of last year. So the dollar, and remember, oil is traded, we talked about this at the conference, it's traded in U.S. dollars around the world. And if the dollar is getting stronger against other currencies and oil is traded in dollars, oil is going to keep going down if that continues. So is the dollar going to continue to strengthen? What's your opinion? And you can listen to all the experts out there, and some of them will be right and some of them will be wrong. But you really need to make your own decision on this. And maybe we can kind of ferret that out here at the break. You may have a question about a particular stock. Maybe you want to talk about that you're watching, or a sector or industry. Everybody's interested in oil. One of the reasons why I don't think oil is done falling is one of the reasons too many people think that it is. I know. So when do you buy and sell something? We're open to all your money questions. 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. And if you'd like to see a description of the four targeted retirement portfolio programs, just spend a few minutes on InvestTalk.com. Select the Investments tab and then look at the popular Select Growth and Income program, for example, handpicked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. Then if you have a question, click on Contact Steve, write him a note.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Jim in San Francisco. He wants to talk about big oil, Chevron or Exxon. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Steve. Good afternoon to you. I'm looking at Chevron and I'm looking at ExxonMobil. Which of the two do you favor?
Well, that's really a good question. And these are two big blue chip. I mean, we're talking two of the largest oil companies in the world. ExxonMobil is $385 billion. Used to be the largest company in the world, but Apple crushed them. Chevron is $208 billion. So the real, you know, it's hard to differentiate which one's better than the other. I kind of like ExxonMobil a little bit better, not because it's bigger, because I like their exposure to natural gas besides oil, and I like their. Both are worldwide. Both are very well funded. Both are going to be around forever. The Chevron pays a little bit higher dividend, 3.9%, where Exxon only pays 3%. Jim, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. But if you're going to like push me, I probably favor Exxon Mobil a little bit because of their natural gas exposure. I think natural gas demand is going to just keep growing fast, and Exxon's in a better position to take advantage of that. And we're talking over years, not over, you know, the next year or two. I'm talking about way in the future for years and years and years. Both of them, owning both of them wouldn't be a bad thing, though, Jim. Really wouldn't.
I like the way you think.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, Jim. Steve, that last conference you had last week.
Yes.
Is there a MP3 that I could purchase? I could not make it, but is there anything available online where I could listen to it on?
Not yet.
Maybe purchase it?
But not yet, Jim, but we are going to, we will be putting on a webinar on the exact same topic. And it won't be a 3 hours, it'll be an hour. And then we will put that on our website, and you can listen to it anytime after we do it. But it's going to take me another week or two or three to get that webinar organized, and we'll go over the same topics. So
Wonderful.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Chevron or Exxon? It's hard to pick. Chevron has a little bit better numbers than Exxon, but I do like the bigger exposure in natural gas that Exxon has. It's hard to decide. It really is. Okay. Are we in an accidental currency war? Is an article by Mohammed Al-Faran. And he used to be the co-CEO at PIMCO, you know. So when we're talking about a currency war, it's about everybody trying to export their way out of soft economic condition in their country. They want to increase their exports. Everybody is a race to cheapen their currency. And the one main partner in the world that's not in that race is us. But don't think we're all lily white. We're not. And I'll explain here in a minute. In the last month, we've seen Australia, India, Mexico, and other countries cut their interest rates. What do you think they're doing that for? Of course, they're saying, well, we need to cut our interest rates because our economy is not doing that great. And China has reduced its reserve requirements on banks in their country, so they want to do the same thing. Central bankers have been forced into a policy path that is far from ideal because of increasing risk inciting. They're increasing the risk inciting, speculation, financial. Remember, think about the ECB, who recently said they're going to do a $1 trillion euro QE. Well, what do you think that's going to do to their currency? They're spending more and more money. It's a race to the bottom, everybody. Then think about this. Why is the Federal Reserve not increasing rates when our economy is gaining strength? Shouldn't they be increasing rates? Why are they saying, oh, we need to be patient? Are they doing the same kind of thing? Shouldn't they be raising rates at this stage of a recovery? Just a question. There's other points we won't be able to get to. Before we close the hour, I'll be in San Jose next week on February 17th and San Ramon on the 18th. I still have two slots open, everybody. If you want to meet with me, you got to hurry up. Just go to investtalk.com, click on Make an Appointment, and our staff will take care of the rest. My staff. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. I thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.